Words are more than just communication tools. They're the architects of our reality. In Cultish, linguist Amanda Montell reveals how specialized vocabulary creates the invisible boundaries that enable extreme influence. This isn't distant academic theory. It's woven through our everyday experiences. From fitness studios to social media communities, Cultish language shapes our perceptions in ways we rarely notice. Montell's exploration is deeply personal, inspired by her father's teenage experience in the Synanon cult. Her investigation shows that the most dangerous form of mind control isn't hypnosis or brainwashing. It's the subtle manipulation of language that changes how we think, feel, and connect with others. What transforms a community into something cultish? The answer lies in specialized vocabulary that creates invisible boundaries between insiders and outsiders. When 13-year-old Tasha Samar encountered the Healthy, Happy, Holy organization, she was captivated by their white garments and foreign prayers. By 18, she taught Kundalini yoga to celebrities while immersed in Yogi Bhajan's controlling system of mantras and strict rules. The group's linguistic manipulation included specific greetings and new naming conventions that severed members from their past identities. This linguistic separation serves three purposes: making recruits feel special through exclusive knowledge, conditioning followers to depend on leaders through controlled communication, and reframing moral choices in group-specific terms. Charismatic leaders use theatrical delivery, hyperbole, and catastrophizing language that energizes followers while inhibiting critical thinking. Our susceptibility stems from our nature as social creatures. Studies show social rejection activates the same neural pathways as physical pain. With organized religion declining, 4 in 10 millennials identify as religiously unaffiliated, and institutional trust eroding, people increasingly seek meaning in alternative communities that offer specialized knowledge and exclusive belonging. The phrase "drinking the Kool-Aid" has become casual slang, but survivors like Tim Carter and Odell Rhodes find it deeply offensive as it trivializes their tragedy. The People's Temple began as an integrated church promoting racial equality before establishing the Jonestown settlement in Guyana, marketed as a utopian experiment. Jim Jones possessed remarkable linguistic adaptability, shifting between personas, down-home preacher, intellectual, revolutionary, to connect with different audiences. He studied influential speakers from MLK to Hitler and mirrored his followers' speaking patterns, creating artificial intimacy that made each person feel uniquely understood. His most sinister manipulation came through reframing revolutionary suicide. While Huey Newton conceived it as a metaphor for activists willing to die fighting oppression, Jones twisted it into literal mass suicide as political protest. When Congressman Leo Ryan's visit threatened to expose Jonestown's reality, Jones orchestrated the deaths of over 900 people through coercion, armed guards, and psychological conditioning. Years later, Heaven's Gate employed similar linguistic manipulation with different trappings. Led by Marshall Applewhite, the group combined religious apocalypticism with UFO mythology, creating an alternate reality through specialized vocabulary. Whether dressed in revolutionary politics or space-age spirituality, the careful construction of alternate realities through language can lead followers toward self-destruction. Scientology's recruitment tactics are sophisticated and systematic. At their Sunset Boulevard headquarters, I experienced their approach firsthand, touring exhibits, completing a misnamed Oxford capacity analysis, and receiving personal critiques designed to sell self-improvement courses. When the aggressive $35 Introduction to Dianetics pitch began, I recalled my mother's warnings about high-pressure sales and fled. Kathy, a 12-year ex-Scientologist, explained their gradual entrapment approach. They begin with seemingly benign communication courses, teaching basic skills like maintaining eye contact. Members are forbidden from conducting outside research, while the organization employs isolating language, creating an us versus them mentality. Technical terms like SP, suppressive person, label critics as evil, while PTS, potential trouble source, marks those who associate with critics. Unlike subtler linguistic manipulation, Scientology's approach is overtly technical and pseudoscientific. L. Ron Hubbard created dictionaries with over 3,000 specialized entries, combining co-opted scientific terms with invented neologisms to create an impression of legitimacy. This private terminology initially makes followers feel special, but ultimately obscures understanding rather than clarifying it. Religious language possesses uniquely performative power. It creates reality through repeated use and ritual. In healthy contexts, this powerful language remains confined to specific ritual time, clearly signaled by symbolic actions. However, oppressive groups deliberately blur these boundaries, refusing separation between sacred and everyday reality, keeping members in constant psychological manipulation. Modern multi-level marketing MLM companies operate through deceptive recruitment structures resembling cults. New members pay substantial starter fees to recruit others into their downline while meeting sales quotas as their upline takes percentages. Companies disguise commissioned salespeople as consultants or independent business owners without providing benefits or security. The business model demands exponential growth, each person recruiting 10 others monthly, creating a mathematical impossibility that quickly saturates markets. Despite evidence that 99% of participants lose money, with average annual earnings below $500, emotional connections to their business family keep members invested. MLMs manipulate through cultish language techniques, gaslighting failures as personal shortcomings while using thought-terminating cliches like "a good system always works." Their toxic positivity combines excessive praise with warnings against negativity, isolating members from friends and family labeled dream stealers. This predatory model flourished after World War II when women were forced out of the workforce. Tupperware transformed direct selling when Brownie Wise realized suburban mothers could be both consumers and salespeople, creating the Tupperware party concept that turned social gatherings into sales opportunities. Using pseudo-feminist language, these companies established a template for faux empowerment rhetoric that continues in modern social media marketing. Christian communities are particularly susceptible to MLMs, with companies like Mary Kay and Amway explicitly identifying as faith-based. This connection traces back to the Protestant Reformation, which birthed modern capitalism and the belief that financial success indicates divine favor. Rather than dismissing all cultish groups as evil, we should adopt a nuanced approach that allows for meaningful connection while maintaining critical thinking. Scientists like Carl Sagan modeled an ideal balance between openness to unconventional ideas and rigorous evaluation. People who join cults aren't lost, but actively searching for meaning. Many are intelligent, educated individuals, including doctors and lawyers, seeking answers to fundamental questions. Staying safe requires both fact-checking and remaining open to unexpected sources of fulfillment. Most modern movements allow individuals space to decide what to believe and what language to adopt. The key is maintaining a vigilant twinkle in your eye, recognizing metaphorical elements while understanding that identity comes from multiple influences rather than a single ideology. When evaluating potentially cultish communities, ask, does the group welcome diversity or pressure conformity? Can you participate casually? What's the exit cost in terms of pride, money, or relationships? Watch for red flags like love bombing, information control, and shame-based motivation. In healthy communities, participants maintain agency. You can modify practices and leave without severe consequences. The group doesn't singularly define you. You'd still be yourself without it. In a world shaped by specialized language, your most powerful protection is awareness itself, recognizing when words are being used not to communicate, but to control.